to be the central figure of the gospel, Jesus. So Jesus Christ is not only the central figure of the gospel, it's the central figure of the Bible. Old Testament is a shadow of the coming of Messiah, and New Testament is a fulfillment, is a God become flesh, right? Fulfillment of that shadow. And even the human history, the central figure of human history is Jesus Christ. If we look into the history, according to the biblical point of view, when the gospel had been spread every corner, and then the coming, second coming of Jesus will be imminent. So the person Jesus Christ deserves our study and deserves our understanding in depth. And Jesus Christ is quite same with you and me. He is a person, he's a historical figure. So he was not a figure invented like in a fiction, right? He is a historical person. But he is different from us, and because he is also God himself, become flesh. So he's same with us, he is different with us. In the human history, only one person is a human being, and at the same time is God himself, and that is Jesus Christ. Now we're going to he was descendant of David. Now we're looking to Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. What does it mean according to the flesh? Flesh is something you can see, you can touch, just like you and me. We all have flesh. So according to the flesh, he was born the seed of David. And that was fulfillment of the teaching of the Bible. The promise of the Bible, because the Bible say Messiah will be the descendant of David. But now, Jesus become human being. There are two significant reasons. That's turn to the book of Hebrew. The book of Hebrew, chapter 2. The book of Hebrew, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death. And that is the devil. 15. And release those who thought through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, everybody of us, we are all afraid of death, right? Is anybody here, you never afraid of death? Everybody afraid of death. The only time, we feel that death is better than than life is when you are in extreme agony. So when we visit a member in the hospital, in the last days of their life, some suffer from the terminal sickness. At that time, what do we pray? Right? Most often we pray, God, please, all right, take her life or his life back to heaven. ASAP, right? Why? Because he suffered so much. So death is far better if you can take him up to heaven. That's the only time. Otherwise, everybody is afraid of death. And according to these two verses, who is in control of death? That he might destroy him who has the power of death. Who has the power of death? Who? Devil is Satan, right? And how come Satan has the power of death? What is the reason of death? It's sin, right? Sin. If no sin, there will be no death. So once we sin, we are controlled by Satan. Death controls us through sin. We are separated from God, so we belong to Satan. And Jesus Christ wants to save us out of sin. And we all very familiar. According to God's law, all sin can be forgiven by shedding the blood. If Jesus Christ is God himself, has no blood, no flesh, like you and me, how can he die for us? Right? So in order to shed blood for us, he must become a human being. So John chapter 1, people look at Jesus and call him, Behold the Lamb of God. How come they call Jesus the Lamb of God? Right? The Lamb of God. The Lamb is ready to be killed, ready to shed his blood. So the Bible says we are redeemed by the heavy price, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ, because he prepared a body. And with the body, he was able to sacrifice us for us. So this is the first reason why Jesus Christ, the Savior, has to be a human being, because only human being has the body, can shed the blood as a price for our redemption. The second reason, that look into the book of Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, and there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Look, why Jesus had to become human being? Because Jesus Christ, the father, is Joseph, right? And Joseph has his own genealogy. So we can look in the book of Luke, Joseph's genealogy. You trace back, and you can see one of the Joseph's ancestor is David. And you trace it further back, and one of the ancestor, right? Jesus Christ related was Abraham. And your father traced back the first person, Adam. And then Adam was the son of God. So Jesus Christ related to Abraham. That's very important, right? When God appeared to Abraham, God promised Abraham what? A piece of land and filled with honey and milk. And that's called promised land. So all the Abraham descendants, if you look into the Genesis, right, chapter 12, Abraham and Abraham's son, Isaac and Isaac's son, Jacob, and Jacob later on changed name to Israel, and then Joseph. From chapter 12 to chapter 50, actually talking about four generations. And these four generations all have the same goal, the lifelong. The goal is to occupy the land of Canaan, the land, the promised land. Even Joseph died in Egypt. He was a prime minister, but his will to his descendant, right? You should not bury me here. You just bomb him in Egypt. And then when they return Egypt to the promised land, they carry the body back to Canaan. So all their heart, their mind is the promised land, which God promised to Abraham. And what does that promised land really means? Because according to Hebrew chapter 11, when Abraham physically stepped into the promised land, a land filled with honey and milk, and Abraham's heart was not in that physical land. Abraham's heart was in a far better country, which was managed by God himself. And that far better country actually is heaven. So God promised Abraham with a piece of land. Physically is Canaan. Spiritually is heaven. And now, physically, we are not the descendant of Abraham, so we have no part with the physical Canaan. But spiritually, through Jesus Christ, once we baptize into Jesus Christ. We are related to Jesus Christ. We are the son of Christ. And Holy Spirit descend on us. Galatians chapter 4. From the button call the Heavenly Father, Abba Father, right? So we have the proof. I'm the son of Jesus Christ. And then through the connection of Jesus' genealogy to Abraham, so we are the heirs. That's what the Bible tried to say. Then the Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Promise of what? To inherit that piece of land. So this is the second reason why Jesus, he God himself, had to become a human being. The first one, he has a flesh and body to die for us, shed the blood as a ransom for redeem us out of sin. The second, through he himself become a human being and his connection to Abraham, we baptized into him can have the portion of that spiritual promise then. Now the next question is, Jesus Christ is not only a human being, but is God himself. Now we come back to the book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. Verse 4. And declare to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness. He is the Son of God. And when Jesus was still in the world, how did he proclaim himself? He called God his Father. He said, I and the Father are one. He and God himself are one, spiritually are one. But the most famous verse, John chapter 8, verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. verse 58, Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Look into this description, right? Before Abraham was, why they use the words? Was is a past tense, means Abraham already passed away at least 2,000 years before Jesus was born. So since Abraham passed away, it become was, right? Just like if you pass away today, right? Tomorrow people will say, brothers and brother, was, right? Was very fervent, right? You already gone. Before Abraham was, I am the present tense, right? Before Abraham passed away, I am. I already exist. Then how are you going to explain that? Jesus Christ, they look at Jesus Christ, he's not 50 years old yet, right? Actually, he was what? The time he was crucified, 33. The brother, people look at you, right? And you are not 50 years yet. How do you feel? Very sad, right? I'm only 20 some. How come 50 years yet? So Jesus Christ is God himself. And God exists forever. So before Abraham was dead, God already exists. So this is to prove Jesus is God himself, manifest, become flesh. Now, the question, why God have to come down to the world? Also, there are two reasons. The most important reason, if Jesus Christ came to the world, is a result of the marriage of Joseph and Mary. What is going to happen? Then Jesus Christ was a sinner, right? Everyone born out of marriage is the descendant of Adam, and is a sinner. Because Adam sinned, the sin came to the world. Everyone who born into the world is a sinner. But before Mary get married with Joseph, right? And Holy Spirit come into Mary and conceive Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is not go through marriage. It's come from God himself. His spirit come into Mary and give birth to Jesus. So Jesus has no sin. And because Jesus has no sin, so he will be qualified to die for us. If Jesus like you and me, right? Even he want to die for us, but he was not qualified. Because you are a sinner, I'm a sinner, how can I die for you? I have to die for my own sin. You have to die for your own sin. I cannot die for you. You cannot die for me. Only a person who has no sin will be qualified to die for us. So that was the reason why God had to become human being to the world. So this person has no original sin and qualified to die for our sin. This is the first reason. And the second reason why Jesus has come to the world, go back to the book of John, John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. How come no one has seen God? Why? Why no one has seen God? Because God is spirit, right? Physical eye cannot see the spiritual matter unless God reveal himself. Then you saw a vision, right? And you saw heaven. But if God don't reveal the heaven to us, you cannot see it because it's a spiritual things, cannot see by physical eyes. So No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. So Jesus Christ came to the world to manifest God himself. So if we one step further, look into the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwell all the fullness of Godhead bodily. In him, in Jesus Christ, dwell all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Bodily means which you can see, which you can touch, called bodily. And the deity of God, God is invisible. The deity of God is invisible, right? God is holy. How can you see God? You cannot see God, how can you see holiness? God is love, compassion. How can you see love and compassion? And the deity of God is fully manifested bodily in Jesus Christ. So we look into Jesus Christ, the person. We look into the way he lived his life. Then we understand what is God. What is God's holiness? Look into Jesus Christ. What is God's love and compassion? Look into Jesus Christ, right? And what is God's humility? Look into Jesus Christ. So that was the reason why God had to become human being, to manifest himself to every one of us. So the mystery of God is Jesus. If anyone who wants to know God, you have to understand Jesus. Now, if we don't understand Jesus, we don't understand God. All the mystery hidden in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, the person, the central figure of the Bible, the central figure of the gospel, he is a human being like you and me, and he is the Son of God. God manifests to become a human being. Now, we go into the main body. We know the theme, we know the central figure, we know the purpose of the letter. Now we go into the main body. Point one. Both Jews and Greek are under sin. If we don't look into the Bible, what is the greatest crisis of human being? If we don't look into the Bible, what is the greatest crisis of human being? Right now, probably global warming, right? Temperature keep on shooting up. Why there is a global warming, right? Because people consume too much, right? You keep on buying new clothes, new shoes, everything on the new, right? And they have to, produce it and set up more factory. And because of this process, has a lot of pollution. So global warming. So if we continue to live the way we live, now next generation will suffer. Why? Can you imagine if the temperature increased 3 degrees? What is going to happen? And it becomes real. The next generation will live much, much hotter than we live now. But this is not the greatest danger or crisis. The greatest crisis in our generation is sin. Universal crisis, sin. And the book of Romans will tell us why it is the greatest crisis of human being and how to deal with sin. And this is a theology of salvation. Now, Now we look into number one. Okay, before we go to number one, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The first part is talk about sin is real. And the second part is talk about salvation is available. Oh, right. If we only talk about first part, we have no hope. Oh, right. So here talk about the scripture has confined all under sin. What does that mean? If you close the Bible, why do I have sin? I have nothing. I have no sin. But if you open the Bible, does anybody have no sin? Everybody have sin, right? We look into 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Why? If anybody say, I have no sin, you deceive yourself. Why? Because I have sin. Actually, I have sin. So if I say I have no sin, it contradicts from the reality. That means I deceive myself. And then, the truth is not in us. Why the Bible had to add one sentence, the truth is not in us? The truth means absolute standard. And this standard settled in heaven forever. This standard is universal. In Africa, in America, universal, the same standard. And this standard is the same with 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and even 1,000 years later, the standard will never change. So the truth is not in us. When the standard come into our heart, measure our thought, measure the way we speak, measure our life, and the sin will become obvious. And then verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So in more serious, if we say I have no sin, means we make God become a liar. And how can God become a liar, right? It's impossible. Whatever God says is true, because God is truthful. So God cannot again himself. If God is a liar, then God cannot be God. And his words is not in us, right? The second time, talk about his words. The truth is not in us. So if the truth is inside us, the sin will come out. So Gentiles have sin. If we only look into the Ten Commandments, then you know everybody have sin. I don't know whether you recall in one of the NYTS, one of the youth was moved by Holy Spirit, and he testified. That was the first time I heard anyone testify by that. He testified the sin he had committed, right? And actually, he was talking about Ten Commandments. And he started from First Commandment, Second Commandment, all the way to Ten Commandments. He conveys he break the Ten Commandments every day and everyone. And the reason God moved him to testify sin is to aware that we need the grace of God. We need the forgiveness of God. and also will make people aware, I am who I am. This is the grace of God, right? Because God forgives our sin. Now we look into Romans chapter 1. Start from verse 18. Where is the beginning of sin? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Ungodliness and unrighteousness. Godliness comes from the words of God. Righteousness comes from the words of right. So the wrath of God revealed from heaven against everyone who don't have the divine nature of God. Revealed to anyone who is not right beside in the eyes of God. Right? If we can reveal the divine nature of God, we are godly. If we can be right in the eyes of God, we are righteous. Then we have no sin. So ungodliness and unrighteousness, put it together, we have double kind of sin. Who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness? Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. From God has shown it to them. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the beginning of sin is human being try to ignore God willfully, purposely. Even though God is invisible, right? When you come here, right? Does anybody see your parents? Your parents are not here, right? But can we deny you have no parents? Nobody can deny you have no parent. If you have no parent, how can you come here? Right. We did not see your parents, but you are here means you have parents. You keep parking a lot of car, right? Did you see the factory of the car? No, but you can deny there's a factory, right? You come here, it's so beautiful chapel, right? And where comes the chapel? It's not because a big wind blow over it and all the chapel is here, right? The church spent money and construction was done. So it's a good chapel here. So you see everything there is the origin. How come? You look into the heaven. You look into the moon. Right? It comes by nature. It's impossible. Or Big Bang, right? Big Bang, boom, all of a sudden the earth exists. Right? There's a four season and there's a 24 hours day. It's impossible. So the existence of God to prove there is origin, and that origin is God himself. And God is almighty. He can create the world. You can never understand how huge, how big it is. And there are so many theory, there are so many wisdom hidden inside God's creation. So God is very wise. Look into your body, right? Your body are very created, very wise. by God himself. So the most beautiful proportion is body, human body. That proportion is the most beautiful. So we look into the God's creation, we know God exists. Now, since God exists, what is going to happen? God is the creator. So everything belongs to him. Everything you create belongs to yourself, right? Some people like to drawing, right? Your drawing has copyright. Some people like to compose a music song, right? If you compose by you, then you have copyright, right? It belongs to you. Nobody can copy it unless they get your agreement. And when the universe created by God, and it belongs to God, even we, everybody, we belong to God. If we belong to God, we are subject to God's law. Right? Because he is the owner. We are subject to him. But right now, we purposely ignore God. What does that mean? I don't know whether you drive the car, you have seen some kind of intersection, there's a camera. No people, but on camera. It's not policeman, right? If you look into the camera there are two choices, right? I just ignore. I don't care. He will never catch me, right? Speed up. Run the red light because midnight, nobody there, right? What is going to happen? What is going to happen? 1 or 2 weeks ago, later, right, the court will send a citation. In certain day, certain hour, you run the red light. There is a proof picture. Now you are going to bear the consequence. You pay a few hundred, right? After you pay a few hundred, and your record will send to DMV. And then your insurance premium will shooting up. You run one red light will cost you 1,000. Really? And plus a lot of times. And plus a lot of headache. The consequence there. The same thing. God, you cannot see it, but God exists. You cannot deny it. But I just purposely ignore God. I just do whatever I want to do. And there's a consequence. And the consequence right now is reading here. The consequence is sin. Now we're going back into Romans chapter 1. So the first sin is try to ignore the existence of God, which is ungodliness. So ungodliness is the beginning of all sin. If we look into the United States, the history can prove it. 1960s. In the high school campus, their problem is what? What is the school problem? During the class, they chew the chewing gum, or in the cafeteria, they don't want to line up, or during the time when there's no school, they are fighting, right? It's a feast, fighting. That was a problem in the 1960s. But right now, you know the problem on campus, right? Gun violence, right? If you are not happy, bring the machine gun. And then pregnancy, and then drug. So many problems. And how come 1960 is so much different from nowadays? Nowadays so worse than 1960s. Then you look into United States, 1960, Supreme Court make a decision. What is the decision? They have to separate religion from government, from the school. So in school, you cannot say prayer. In school, you cannot hand the Ten Commandments. Even they rewrite the textbook. Originally, the immigrant from UK come to United States is for seeking for religion freedom. But after they rewrite the textbook, it has nothing to do with religion. So they try to educate a kid God-free. They grown up God free. It looks quite a good idea, right? Once a person grown up, there is no God in heart, then all things are permissible. You can do anything you want to do. So the problem comes from here. I wrote into a news, right? One of students talk about power. The teacher give them a homework, power. And he just come to the before the class and talk about divine power. When he start to mention divine power, all of a sudden, the teacher's countenance change. Just stop him and ask him to go. You cannot mention God in school. Then once a person ignore God, what is the consequence? Chapter 1, verse 21. Because although they know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but become futile in their thought, and their foolish heart were darkened. And verse 22, for wishing to be wise, they become fool. So verse 21 and 22 talk about three consequences once a person denies the existence of God. The first consequence is what? Their thought become futile. Once we detach from God, everything we do is futile, is zero. Why? Because once we detach everything from God, everything we do, God will not remember. Once we pass away, everything becomes zero. But if we attach God, everything I do because of God, then everything I do, God will remember. Then after you die, God will reward us according to what he remembered, what we have done for his name. So futility comes from where? We detach our life from God. Then the second one, their foolish heart was darkened. Darkened means what? You cannot see. You cannot see the future. You cannot see the right direction. You cannot see the goal. So people get lost. Once we purposely deny God, our life has no aim at all. Can anybody plan your life beyond retirement? Everybody, can you plan your life beyond retirement? The one can plan the retirement, last planning is what? Buy a piece of buried ground, right? And include it in the tomb, stone in the buried ground. And your name was inscribed there, your birthday was inscribed there, and then only there was a blank waiting for you to die, bury, and put another inscription there. So our heart is darkened and we lose our eternal goal. We have no sight, then we lost. And the third one, possessing to be wise, they become fool. So everybody become fool. How can you say everybody become fool, right? Because it's just an investment. If you are 10,000 today, you keep on investing, when you reach to the age of retirement, then you are supposed to have 1 million, right? But it turned out your investment turned out to be zero. That means you are a fool. What kind of investment have you done, right? God give us so much talent. God give us so long time. But eventually, when we die, everything becomes zero. That's called foolish. So once we purposely ignore God, the consequence is so great. Our heart become darkened, we become fool, and our life become futile. Let's pray inside. Amen. 10 minutes break.